Here should be Le'iloi Nishmasa. Thank you, everybody, for inviting me to come share some Divrei Torah together and to restart this Hashkama Shir. I also have to thank everybody for making me feel like I had the greatest technological achievement of my year so far, getting the Zoom together. Okay, so it's Parshas Vayigash. Of the many, many climactic moments that the Torah describes in Parshas Vayigash, we, of course, know of the encounter, the reuniting between Yosef and Binyamin. And the Torah describes the encounter between the two, and it says, "Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv vayevk, uVinyamin bacha al tzavarav." That Yosef and Binyamin cried on each other's shoulders when they met each other. Of course, a very emotional moment. For some reason, I couldn't figure out how to do the muting. I don't know. I guess I'm not that technologically savvy. So, if everybody could mute himself, that would be him or herself. That would be great. Okay. So what's interesting in the pasuk is the word savarei. Vayipol al savarei v'nyomin achiv. That Yosef cried. The literal translation of the pasuk is that Yosef cried on Binyamin's necks, and Chazal are bothered by that usage because obviously a person has only one neck. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara and Megillah, basically notes that this is meant to be interpreted on a midrashic level, that these tzavarim, these necks, are meant to represent the two Batei Mikdash that would later be built in the territory that Binyamin had in Yerushalayim. And it's a reference to the destruction of these two Batei Mikdash. And that's also what Yosef was crying about, not just seeing his brother and them knowing of each other for the first time, but also what would be a very down point of history when these two Batei Mikdash are destroyed. So in light of that reference to this to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and also especially in light of the upcoming fast of Asar B'Teves tomorrow, so I wanted to focus on a topic that really centers on the Mikdash, namely the topic of Zecher LeMikdash, the manner in which we maintain a connection to the Mikdash, even Bezman Hazeh, by remembering, recalling, commemorating that which happened in the Mikdash. So that's going to be our topic for today, and you have access to the source sheets, I hope. It was on the original email. So the first thing to do when discussing the topic of Zecher LeMikdash is really to identify our terms. What exactly do we mean by Zecher LeMikdash? And the reason why this is a compelling question is because the Gemara discusses the topic of Zecher LeMikdash in two different contexts, and in each context it has a different source for the principle. So the first one comes from the Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Aleph Amen Aleph, which is the first source on your sheet. And that's where the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana. He established a practice to take lulav, to take dalet minim, throughout all 7 days of Sukkot. Because we know that there's a mitzvah to take lulav in all places in the world, only on the first day of Sukkot. But throughout the rest of Sukkot, so there was a mitzvah to take the lulav for 7 days only in the Beis HaMikdash. But came Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and made a takana that even so we should take the lulav everywhere for all 7 days, and that was a takana of Zecher LeMikdash. The Gemara there is interested in deriving from where we know that we're supposed to mimic the actions of the Mikdash. How do we know that we're supposed to do Zecher LeMikdash? So the Gemara there quotes a pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyahu, and the end of the pasuk says, "Tzion hi doresh ein la." It's Yerushalayim lacks any doresh, a seeker. And basically the pasuk Yirmiyahu, the Navi, is bemoaning the fact that we're not seeking out Yerushalayim as well as we are supposed to. And therefore the Gemara makes the inference, doresh ein la michlal debaya drisha. From the fact that the pasuk bemoans that Yerushalayim lacks those who quest after it, so that implies that we're supposed to be Doresh Yerushalayim, we're supposed to seek it. And the way in which we express our desire for Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash is by commemorating it, by performing the mitzvos that were done in the Beis HaMikdash, one example of which would be the taking of the Dalet Minim throughout the 7 days of Sukkot. So that is one example of Zecher LeMikdash in the Gemara. But then there's another Gemara, source number two on your sheets. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Samach Amid Beis.
Sorry, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yes, go for it.
Can you just shoot me a quick text or an email with the Zoom link? There's some people who can't get in.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to email you.
Also, there's one more person who's not muted. So, Relicats, if you could just mute everyone.
Do you know? Can someone just tell me quickly? Does anyone know quickly how to mute? Maybe I have to ask my wife.
Participants, you should be able to mute individual participants by clicking on them.
If you go to participants, thank you so much. Oh, okay, thank you, Daniel. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Great. Got it. Okay. Everybody is muted, but I think I clicked that. If you'd like to unmute yourself, then you can. And okay, Joel, I'm going to send you the link. Okay, that should be good, and there should not be a password, so that should be good. You got the email? Thumbs up? Okay, great. Okay. Okay, so just to recap where we are, we haven't said much yet, just very simply that there's a source in the Gemara in Sukkah that we commemorate the Mikdash with the concept of Zecher LeMikdash by performing mitzvos that were done in the Mikdash, one example of which is the taking of the Dalet Minim throughout the 7 days of Sukkot, the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We were about to get to the second expression of commemoration to the Mikdash, which comes from the Gemara in Bava Basra on Samach Amid Beis, probably familiar with some of the practices that the Gemara there mentions. The Gemara says that based on the pasuk of Imesh Kochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini Tidvak Deshoni Vechiki Im Loes Kerechi, of course, you know, the pasuk that we sing along at the end of the chuppah. So from this pasuk, we derive that we're supposed to do certain actions that invoke within us a feeling of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. So one of those, you know, one of the ones that's famous is that we leave a part of our house towards the entrance to our house. We leave that unfinished. Or another famous one is the placing of ashes upon the head of the chassan at the time of his chuppah. So these are, and there are others there that the Gemara mentions, but these are fulfillments of the pasuk Imashkachich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, and they're meant to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rav explained that these two sources, the Gemara in Sukkah, Tzion Hi Doresh Ein La, and the Gemara in Bava Basra, Imashkachich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, really they pinpoint or they establish two different types, two different categories of Zecher LeMikdash. The first one is what we would just call very plainly Zecher LeMikdash. It refers to the kiyumim, the positive ways in which we commemorate the Mikdash. There were certain mitzvos that were done in the Mikdash. We mimic those. We do those nowadays as well, despite the fact that we don't have the Mikdash, in order to extend that kiyum, in order to apply that which was done in the Mikdash even nowadays. The other type of Zecher LeMikdash is what the Rav called Zecher LeChurban. And what that really means to say is that what's incumbent upon us is to practice certain mourning practices so that we express our loss in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So we're not doing mitzvos that were done in the Mikdash, we're actually making up new practices like the placement of the ashes or leaving the house unfinished. And those are meant to fulfill the objective of, again, invoking within us that sense of mourning. So the topic that we're really going to center on tonight is the Zecher LeMikdash topic, the way in which we commemorate the mitzvos that were done in the Mikdash. And the truth is that we could demonstrate the difference between these two types of Zecher LeMikdash. On the one hand, the positive commemorations. On the other hand, the mourning-like commemorations, with an interesting discussion about whether we recite the bracha of Shehecheyanu on mitzvos of Zecher LeMikdash. So the Baal Amor, at the end of Maseches Pesachim, discusses an intriguing question, which is usually discussed around, you know, between Pesach and Shavuos, because it's all about Sfiras HaOmer. And the Baal Amor asks, why is it that we don't recite a bracha of Shehecheyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? After all, Sfiras HaOmer comes mizman lizman. It's an intermittent mitzvah. We don't do it all year round. So just as we recite a Shehecheyanu on lulav, when we take lulav, why not recite a Shehecheyanu on Sfiras HaOmer? So the Baal HaMor explains that one of the reasons why we wouldn't recite the Shachiyanu is because Sfiras HaOmer comes, in his words, Le'agmas Nafshenu U'Lechurban Beis Ma'avayenu. It comes as an expression or a highlighting. It's symbolic of our distress over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that being the case, so the Rav explained, that's why Shachiyanu has no relevance, or really to say no applicability to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, because Sfiras HaOmer, maybe according to this approach in the Baal HaMor, is really a fulfillment of Zecher L'Churban. It's meant to express a certain feeling of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. It's not actually intended to extend a mitzvah that was done in the Mikdash to Bizman HaZeh. It's really focused more on the Churban. Since it's focused on the Churban, we wouldn't recite the Shachiyanu. The Shachiyanu would be reserved for the extension of mitzvos that were done in Bizman HaMikdash, even to Bizman HaZeh. So that's one, just a short way, concise way, to explain the difference between the two categories. So as I said before, we're going to focus for the minutes that we have on the topic of Zecher LeMikdash, the positive commemorations of the Mikdash. And really what I want to turn your attention to three central questions that we're going to focus on. The first one is just to kind of outline the various applications of Zecher LeMikdash, and we're going to mention three of them in just a moment. I also want to try to address the relationship between those various applications, and that means to say as follows. We know in the Gemara that there are many different ways in which we commemorate the positive aspects of the Mikdash, the mitzvos that happened in the Mikdash. There are many, many, many examples that exist even Bizman HaZeh. Are they all the same? Do they all have the same nature? Do the same details apply to all of them? Are they all guided by the same principle? Or maybe might there be two different types, multiple types of Zecher LeMikdash? And that really gets us to our central question, which is to try to analyze, to try to pinpoint the nature of this idea of Zecher LeMikdash. What is it all about? What are we trying to accomplish? How can we describe it in a more precise way? So to introduce this discussion, we really have to get to the various applications of Zecher LeMikdash. So we already mentioned one of them. That came from the Gemara in Sukkah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana, to take lulav throughout the 7 days of Sukkot. Another one we also just mentioned, maybe Sfiras HaOmer. What's the background to how Sfiras HaOmer might be Zecher LeMikdash? So the Gemara in Menachos on source number 4 on your source sheet has a machlokas between the Beir Rav Ashi and Amemar. There was a machlokas between the Amoraim how exactly to count Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh. The Beir Rav Ashi was of the opinion that we should count it exactly the way we do in contemporary practice, that we count both the days and the weeks. Right? So you say Hayom Shmona Yomim LaOmer Sheheim Shavua Echad V'Yom Echad BaOmer. So you say both the days and the weeks. That's exactly what we do. But Amemar was of the opinion that's actually not correct, that instead we should count specifically the days and omit the weeks. That's what Amemar says. Amemar mani yome velo mani shvue. He used to count the days, not the weeks. Now, why was that the case? Omar Zecher LeMikdash Hu. Amemar said that since Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash, that is a foundation, a basis for omitting the weeks and only counting the days. We'll come back to that point. But just for now, we just want to note that Sfiras HaOmer may be another potential example of a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash, of a mitzvah that happened during Zman HaMikdash that we do even nowadays. A third example, we're going throughout the entire year cycle here. So we have Lulav at the beginning of the year, we have Sfiras HaOmer, and then right before Sfiras HaOmer, on Pesach, we have another Zecher LeMikdash example, which is the mitzvah of Korech, the mitzvah to combine the matzah and the maror, according to some opinions. Other opinions used to be the Korban Pesach, also as part of that, you know, sandwich, so to speak. So the mitzvah of Korech, Bizman HaZeh, is also a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. The Gemara records a machlokas between Hillel and the Chachamim, how exactly matzah and maror are supposed to be consumed. So the Chachamim say that they can be consumed separately. You don't have to have them together as part of one unit. But Hillel was of the opinion that you're supposed to be korech the matzah and maror biyachad. You're supposed to have them together. And nowadays, we do both. We first eat the matzah and then the maror, and then we do Zecher LeMikdash kehillel. We have the matzah and maror together. That's another example of Zecher LeMikdash. So all in all, we're going to discuss tonight those three examples. examples. Number one, Netilas Lulav throughout the 7 days. Number two, Sfiras HaOmer. Number three, Korech, combining Matzah and Maror together. So I introduced before that it might not be the case that these three examples of Zecher LeMikdash are all exactly the same. It might be that we can pinpoint some differences between these mitzvahs of Zecher LeMikdash, and those differences might be really key in getting to to a more precise understanding of what Zecher LeMikdash is all about. So let's start off with one clear difference between some of these mitzvahs, and that difference is whether we recite a Birkas HaMitzvah. So when it comes to lulav, we know that we recite a brechas hamitzvah. We say al netilas lulav throughout the 7 days of Sukkot. The first day, second day, every single day we say al netilas lulav. But if you turn to Korich at the Seder, no one ever says a bracha on Korich. You say zecher lemikdash kehillel. You introduce the consumption of the kricha, but you don't say a bracha. So why is that? Why do we have a bracha on lulav, but we don't have a bracha on Korech? After all, they're both mitzvos of Zecher LeMikdash. If you make a bracha on Zecher LeMikdash, then why not both? And if you don't, then it shouldn't be either. So how do we explain that difference? So the Rav had a beautiful explanation to explain the difference in terms of the bracha. This comes in source number 6. It's recorded in the Rishimo Shiurim, Rav Reichman's notes from the Rav Shiurim on Sukkah. And the Rav quotes from Rambam, so I'm not going to get into it right now, just for time purposes. But what the Rav notes is that it's specifically Korech that doesn't have the bracha. And why is that the case? So explains the Rav, because you have to distinguish between two different types of positive commemorations of the Mikdash. And here is where I would suggest to use the formulation of a distinction between what I would call a motivation and in essence, or like a formulation. So that kind of probably sounds like jargon. So let me try to explain exactly what I mean. So when I say motivation, what I mean to say is that sometimes the Rabbanon came along and they were motivated to, they wanted to propel us to commemorate the Mikdash. They wanted to motivate us to commemorate the Mikdash. So in order to, because of that motivation, they instituted that we should perform a mitzvah that was done in the Mikdash. So the Rabbanon had a certain goal in mind. They wanted us to think of the Mikdash. So the way in which to do so, they said, okay, you know what, I'm going to take the mitzvah of lulav, and I'll tell you to do it, bizman hazeh. But if that's the case, then what I'm really doing nowadays is the mitzvah of lulav. I'm just fulfilling the goal of Zecher LeMikdash. But the mitzvah, the content, the substance, the essence, it's a mitzvah of lulav. The other way to look at the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash is not in terms of its motivation, meaning Zecher LeMikdash is not just the motivation. It's actually the essence of the mitzvah. And that means to say that what the Rabbanon did was they obligated us in a totally new, they invented a new category of mitzvos called mitzvos Zecher LeMikdash. Could put it in quotes. It's a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. That's what the Rabbanon obligated us to do. Now, how are you supposed to fulfill that mitzvah? Well, the way in which you fulfill the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash is by doing things that they did in the Mikdash. So you take, maybe you do Sfiras, you count the Omer, or you eat Matzah and Maror together, because that's a means by which we fulfill the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash, that independent category. But that's very different from saying that the same mitzvah that applied during the era of the Mikdash extends to the modern era. That's not the case according to this approach. Instead, there's a new category of mitzvos called mitzvos Zecher LeMikdash. It's just that the substance of those mitzvos is the mitzvos that happened in the Mikdash, because that's the way in which we're going to be Zocher the Mikdash. So based on this distinction, the Rav explained whether a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash would have a bracha or not. When it comes to the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, so that's an example of where Zecher LeMikdash plays the role of a motivation. The reason why the Rabbanan told us to do Lulav Bizman Hazeh was so that we would recall the Mikdash. But the mitzvah stays exactly the same as it used to be. The mitzvah is Netilas Lulav. So if there's a mitzvah de Rabbanan motivated by Zecher LeMikdash to take the Lulav, then of course we should recite a Birkas HaMitzvah. We recite Birkas HaMitzvah on many mitzvos derabanan. Why should this one be any different? And that's why we recite a bracha on Netilas Lulav. But when it comes to Korech, Korech is an example of the other type of Zecher LeMikdash. It's not an extension of the mitzvah that was done b'zman HaMikdash to nowadays, but instead, it's just one example, it's an instance of that new category of Zecher LeMikdash, where the Rabbanan told us to do the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash, to commemorate the Mikdash. The way in which we do that is by doing a certain action that was done in the past, and that's the action of Korech. But if that's the case, then this is an entirely new category of mitzvos, and who's to say that that has a Birkas HaMitzvah? And you might even say a little bit further. Maybe the nature of this new category of mitzvos is really result-oriented. What the Rabbanon wanted us to do was to reach a state of awareness. They wanted us to have that commemoration of the Mikdash. They weren't so interested in the particular Maisa, in the particular performance that we did. They were interested in what that performance would yield, how that performance would make us feel, how that performance would affect our state of mind. So since they were interested in the result and not so much the performance itself, therefore we don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah, because the Birkas HaMitzvah is really attached to the performance. So that was really like the brilliant distinction of the Rav to explain the difference between Netilas Lulav and Korech on the basis of whether we have a bracha or not. Netilas Lulav has the bracha, Korech does not. So what emerges from that analysis again is these two different ways of looking at Zecher LeMikdash. One way is to say that the mitzvah is Lulav, and the motivation for that mitzvah is the commemoration. Another way to say it is that the mitzvah itself is the commemoration, and just the manner in which, the means by which we commemorate is with the mitzvah of old. So this distinction between these two different types of Zecher LeMikdash really have they're subject to a lot of practical ramifications and consequences. Very interesting discussions result from that. So another one would be, for example, the question of the substance of the mitzvah. So let's say like this: when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav, so you take lulav throughout the 7 days of Sukkot. Your Dalet Minim, for all intents and purposes, there are a few very slight differences, but for all intents and purposes, they look exactly the same as they did on day one. You go out in advance of Sukkot, and you're deciding how much money should I spend. It's unbelievable how much they're charging these days, and whatever. But I want to, at the same time, I want to spend a lot for Hidr Mitzvah. You make all the calculations. Eventually, you get your beautiful set of Dalet Minim. You're all ready to go. Day one, you take the Dalet Minim. Day two, you take the same exact set. And day three, you take the same exact set, because you use the same chefza of Dalet Minim throughout the days of Sukkot. However, when we think back to the Gemara in Menachos about Sfiras HaOmer and the position of Amemar, so then what emerges from that? Amemar said that since Sfiras HaOmer is Zecher LeMikdash, in his opinion, you should specifically omit part of the mitzvah. Meaning to say that during the Mikdash era, they counted both the days and the weeks, but nowadays they only count the days. So how do we account for that difference? That both Lulav and Sfiras HaOmer are Zecher LeMikdash, but Lulav looks exactly the same throughout all of Sukkot, and Sfiras HaOmer, according to Amemar, looks different. Why should that be the case? So again, the Rav applied the same analysis to explain this distinction. When it comes to a mitzvah that is motivated by Zecher LeMikdash, but its essence is really the same mitzvah that happened Bizman HaMikdash, so then it should play by the same rules of the Mikdash, because really it's just an extension from that time to now. So if it's the same mitzvah, then it should parallel the mitzvah that happened Bizman HaMikdash. And therefore the Lulav has the same dinim as the Lulav that was taken during the Zman HaMikdash. But when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, at least within the position of Amemar, Sfiras HaOmer would be an example of the other type of Zecher LeMikdash, where the Zecher LeMikdash is not the motivation, but it's actually the essence. It's that new category of Zecher LeMikdash, where the Rabbanon told us, do the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. How do you do that? By doing things that they used to do. So they used to do Sfiras HaOmer. So therefore, that's a good way to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. But if that's the case, we might be particularly motivated to omit a component of the mitzvah to remember that we're not doing this mitzvah as, you know, from the perspective of Sfiras HaOmer. We're not treating it like actual, genuine, authentic Sfiras HaOmer. We're just utilizing this Sfiras HaOmer as a means to fulfill Zecher LeMikdash. One last practical consequence I wanted to discuss was an interesting question as to whether the mitzvot are accompanied by an amira, by a certain articulation. So this is really fascinating. If you kind of step back and think about it, that we have these three mitzvot. So you have lulav, korich, and sfiras haomer. Two of those three have an articulation that accompanies it, and one of them does not. Lulav has nothing that goes along with it. You make a bracha and you shake the lulav, and that's it. When it comes to sfiras haomer, right after we count sfira, so we say yihi ratzon, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And when it comes to korich, right before we do korich, we specifically pronounce that this is Zecher LeMikdash. We say Zecher LeMikdash keHillel, kein asa Hillel, bizman shavis haMikdash hayakayam. We specifically say that this mitzvah of korich is Zecher LeMikdash. So what accounts for that difference? Why is it the case that lulav does not have an accompanying amira, whereas korich and sfiras haomer do? So one way to explain this would again be along the same lines. Perhaps we specifically accompany a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash with an accompanying articulation that announces, you know, that clarifies that this mitzvah is Zecher LeMikdash, when that mitzvah is when the substance of that mitzvah is really just being used, it's utilized, it's employed for that new category of mitzvahs called the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. So when I eat my korech, I'm going to say specifically that this is for Zecher LeMikdash, because I want you to know that this is not an extension of the korech that happened bizman HaMikdash. This is something different. This is this new category called the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. And I'm just doing korech as a means by which to fulfill that mitzvah. So that's why I'm going to specifically articulate that in advance of the mitzvah. And so too, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, I'll say a Yihi Ratzon after the mitzvah in order to say that this Sfira was not an extension of the mitzvah that happened Bizman HaMikdash, but rather it was a means by which I fulfilled this new category of mitzvos called the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. Now, you might ask me, then shouldn't it be exactly parallel? Maybe, you know, shouldn't the articulation either precede the mitzvah in both cases or follow the mitzvah in both cases? Why is it when it comes to korich that it precedes the mitzvah, and when it comes to sfiras haomer that it follows the mitzvah? I'm not sure I have a good answer to that question. I think it's a sharp question. But it might be the case that korich has something else going for it, which is that we specifically want to distinguish korich from what happened right before it, namely the consumption of matzah and maror independently. And the consumption of matzah and maror on their own, those are real mitzvos, either a mitzvah de'oraisa of matzah or a mitzvah de'rabanan of maror. But korich, that's not a mitzvah de'rabanan. I mean, that's a mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. It's a new category of a mitzvah. And therefore, I specifically have the amira to kind of wedge, to split between those more classical mitzvos of matzah and maror and this new type of mitzvah, of mitzvahs Zecher LeMikdash. I specifically put the amira in between to distinguish the two. Okay, so essentially what we've developed tonight are these two different types of the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash. We've covered a number of different ramifications, the consequence of Birkas HaMitzvah, whether we accompany the mitzvah with an amira, whether the details, the substance of the mitzvah mirrors exactly the substance of the mitzvah Bizman HaMikdash. I wanted to leave you with an interesting thought of what really the mitzvah of Zecher LeMikdash kind of contributes to our everyday living, even Bizman HaZeh. So let me introduce that with a quick comment of the Turei Evan. The Turei Evan was a sefer that was written by the Shagas Aryeh, Rab Aryeh Leib. And the Shagas Aryeh was his set of tshuvos. The Turei Evan was his commentary on Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And the Turei Evan notes that there's an interesting common denominator between the mitzvos of Zecher LeMikdash. And that common denominator is that these mitzvos, even Bizman HaMikdash, even when the Mikdash stood, they all had a certain expression, they all had a certain application, even in what we call gvulin, outside of the Mikdash. So let's go one by one. Take, for example, the mitzvah of lulav. So the mitzvah of lulav in the mikdash is for all 7 days. But the mitzvah of lulav on the first day was expressed everywhere in the world, not just in the mikdash. Take the example of Sfiras HaOmer. Even though the Korban HaOmer, which was the root for Sfiras HaOmer, was only in the mikdash, the Sfira, the counting, was done everywhere. That wasn't limited to the mikdash. And take the third example, Korech. Even though Korban Pesach is limited specifically to the mikdash, Korech, the combining of matzah and maror, that was eaten everywhere. That wasn't specifically in the mikdash. So the Turei Evan makes this ingenious comment where he notes this common denominator, that the mitzvos of Zecher and the Mikdash all had specific applications, expressions, even outside of the Mikdash. So what's the idea behind that? So I thought that this idea is really that these mitzvos of Zecher and the Mikdash, they reflect the intersection between the Mikdash and outside of the Mikdash, and Gvulin. Between the makom of Hashras Hashchina, the place that had the most intense expression of, you know, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the locations of everyday life, where we all live and dwell. And if Zecher LeMikdash is limited to the set of mitzvos that specifically had application everywhere, and that weren't limited to the Mikdash, then maybe the idea of Zecher LeMikdash, the idea of commemorating the Mikdash with those mitzvos, is to recall the impact that the Mikdash had on life everywhere, even outside of the Mikdash, even on our private and everyday lives. And I think that this idea is really an idea that the Rav developed in another context, based on some famous Mishnayos, if you could say they're famous, from Maseches Kelim, of all places. The first parak of Maseches Kelim has a number of Mishnayos that list Eser Kedushos, 10 different types of Kedusha. And the first one is Eretz Yisrael. If you look at in source number 11, it's on the second side, Eser Kedushos Hein, Eretz Yisrael Mekudashas Mikol Ho'aratzos, that Eretz Yisrael was the most holy of all lands. And then the Mishnah proceeds to kind of note all of the Kedushos in an upward fashion, all the way until it gets to the Kodesh HaKadashim. Kodesh HaKadashim was the highest of all, the greatest of all Kedushos. So the Rav noted that these Eser Kedushos, it's not just, you know, a nice way to list different Kedushos, to put them in a list of 10. The Mishnah was doing something purposeful here. What the Mishnah was doing was saying that these Kedushos are what my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig likes to call concentric circles. That the most intense Kedusha was in the Kodesh HaKadashim. And then comes the Beis HaMikdash. And that Kedusha radiates outwards throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, in different concentric circles, to different degrees and in different levels, such that the Kedusha that is infused in the entire land really all stems from that source of the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that that's exactly the idea that we're trying to develop based on this comment of the Turei Evan and this idea of Zecher LeMikdash. That the idea of Zecher LeMikdash is to recognize that the Mikdash is not an ivory tower. It's not just a place where there's this intense Kedusha, but it's locked in and it's you know, barricaded. It's a Kedusha that overflows into daily life, into all of Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps the mitzvos of Zecher LeMikdash, which applied everywhere, not only in Israel, they applied everywhere. Perhaps those reflect that the mitzvah, that the mikdash, that makom of Hashras Hashchina, has an impact on our lives no matter where we live. And it's specifically through the mitzvos of Zecher LeMikdash that we recall that even in the absence of the mikdash, that the mikdash still has that impact, has that influence on our lives. So whether commemorating the mikdash through acts of mourning like we developed at the beginning of this year, or through this set of positive mitzvos, and no matter how you look at it, what we're doing is we're cementing in ourselves that notion that wherever we may be, we always really remain connected to that makom of Hashras Hashchina, to the Beis HaMikdash. So hopefully that message can carry us and help us have a meaningful Asar B'Teves, and I wish everybody an easy fast and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much for inviting me to learn together.
Thank you, Yashkayach. That was great. I just want to announce before there might be any questions, but just please keep in mind next week only, this year is at 9 o'clock rather than 8 o'clock. We have Rabbi Dr. Ed Reichman, who is working late next Thursday, so he has to do it at 9 o'clock. Go ahead. Anybody have any questions?
Please feel free. Any questions?
David Kazovitz, for Mark Sicklett, for Tali, anybody.
I know it's harder on Zoom, but feel free.
The usuals.
That's good shit.
Okay.
I have to ask one question. Maybe?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the Luma of Zecha Lamikdash, the last 6 days, days 2 through 7.
Right.
The first day was done everywhere. If somebody does not, if the first day is Shabbos, Shechianu was made on it on the second day, even though it's only a Zecher, am I correct?
Correct, exactly. And that coheres perfectly with our analysis, right? Because Shechianu is, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Okay.
Yashikah. You're right here in your beard, and you're still very good.
Okay.
All right.
Good Shabbos,
everyone.
Okay, good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.